Norman, these aren't yours, are they? Oh, there we go. All right. Okay, good evening. Sorry. So it's Labor Day weekend. It's a long weekend. And I just thought tonight that we'd just try some different things and try to chat about something in particular. And it really just centers around the idea of discipline, which is sort of what I was talking about last Sunday. These disciplines that we have in our life, which are good for us to have. And so that's what my intent is to just talk about tonight. And specifically, as we'll get into it, a little bit about your time with your family and sort of some disciplines around your spiritual formation of your families and individually too. But we can't do that without first throwing candy at you. So I have some bags of candy. They have, some of them have Smarties, and they have Starbursts, some Werther's, and some Twix. And you have to, in order to get one of these candies, there's different colored bags. Just different. I ran out of one kind, so that's why they're in the other one. So these, all these verses, this is my way of introducing this topic. So if you're unfamiliar with how a sword drill works, your Bible is your sword. And you must hold your sword, when I say so, by the side like this. You lock your elbow up, and then, and I will say the verse and the reference, and you'll say it back to me, and then I will say charge, and then you charge. The person who finds the verse then will stand up, and I'll try to make sure I get the right person, and if I get it and I call on you, I'll ask you to read that verse to us. These verses do pertain to our topic this evening. Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay. Swords up. If you are participating. And remember, I'll say the reference, you say it back to me. Isaiah 43:19. Make sure that, keep those up. Oh, Dominique, come on, straighten that elbow. Charge. Help me out, Aaron, if I miss somebody. Oh, well, it was like there's no difference between Scott and Jess. They were both firing up at the same time. So, Scotty, what are you going to do there? Oh, he goes for it. Very good. You want to give that to Scotty? So, that's my New Year's verse. That's the verse you'll often see people posting on Facebook on New Year's Day. Starting a new thing, as I said this morning, for me, September is the start of new routines, new disciplines, and so if that's the case for you, maybe you've fallen out of some of your patterns and disciplines, New Year's, this can be like your New Year's, and so we can start a new thing, maybe even tomorrow morning. Great. Good job. Next verse. Swords up. John 17:17. Oh. Oh, come on, John. You thought I was going after you. John 17:17, charge. Some of you might know this one. If you know it, you can cheat. Andrea. Your word is truth. Very good. I'll give you an extra special one. Your word is truth, the word of God. This is our discipline. This is the thing we want to make the foundation of our homes. Awesome job. Next verse, swords up. Proverbs 22:6. Charge. Yeah, Tristan. Emily, but Tristan. Amen. Train up a child, and that's the idea here of these spending time with your family in the Word, whether that's structured or unstructured, training up your children in the way that they should go. Very good. Don't be shy. You can stand. If you got it, you get it. Swords up. Ephesians 6:4. Bill. Charge. Oh, boy. That was Sarah or Jacques. I think I saw Jacques first. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them Amen. And the discipline and instruction of the Lord is another way of saying that. That's right. That's part of what we do with that. And that's specifically to fathers, right? That we are to be the heads of the home. We're to be the leaders in that spiritual, in those spiritual disciplines, with, of course, the help of the mom in both things, working together to train up your children. Good. Next verse, swords up. This is the key verse. We're going to watch a video later. This is the key section that the video speaks about. Deuteronomy 6, 7. Charge. My eyes are peeled. I'm looking. Oh, John DeVries. Uh-oh. Yep. Right on. Very good. Deuteronomy 6, 7. Here you go. Awesome. So this is three verses, this next one. I'll give you the first verse, and you can read the three verses connected to it. Swords up. Proverbs 6, 20 to 22. Charge. You're ready. You're very generous. All right, Shirley's up. Amen. Very good. Keep your father's command, forsake not your mother's teaching. Very good. There you go. Next one. Okay. I'm receiving feedback that my calls, I may be missing some calls here with my from up here. So I'm doing my very best. Swords up. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. See, I was tricking you. Charge. Oh, Gloria. Let's look at my... Good success, Joshua 1:8. Very good. All right. Keep going. Nice work. Okay. Swords up. Two more verses. John 14:26. Charge. Carson. Right on. Through the Holy Spirit's help, we are able to, enact these disciplines and to carry these things out, not of our own strength, but through the work of the Spirit. Last verse. Swords up. Mark 10, 14, 15. Mark 10, 14, 15. Ooh, put those Bibles back up. Charge. Jessica. Very good. All right. Great job. Thank you, Aaron. And Aaron, I'll give you this one too. This is for your help. Very good. Thank you very much, everyone, for your participation. All right. Okay. So all of those verses were of that theme of whether that was, teaching your children. Time as a family around the Word of God, with the Word of God is the foundation. And, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we who have families, we want to see our children come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so it's important that we don't just talk a talk, but that we walk that walk. And the thing about it is that there's no one prescriptive way that must be done. Each of us in our own family situations have different opportunities and times and schedules for us to do that teaching, to have that time. And it really doesn't matter. Here this evening, we have young couples, we have young families, we have grandparents, and we have parents of some older kids and singles, and we have young people. So we have a wide variety. So all of this, whether it's in your family situation or your own personal devotions and times, it's important to have a framework, to have a strategy whereby you can spend some time in the Word. That's just what I was thinking about. And again, for those who start school, if you haven't started already, like my kids start on Tuesday, and so so we have in the last couple of years, and it was really thanks to COVID that we found that time and we started into a pattern, and it's just something that works for our particular family, and it hasn't been perfect and it hasn't been easy, and it's we take breaks in the summer and stuff like that, so. That's just the way it works for us. You in your own situation, again, whether you're single, whether you're in a family, that's something you can do. And I'm not saying that this is the only thing that should be done either. But I think the thing that, we're going to watch a video in a second, the thing that I love that he drives across that really impacted me was that, just this idea of that, this isn't about just religiosity. It's not about just, I have to do this every single day at this time for this many minutes, and then God will bless me and my family. There's, in the Christian life, we have that freedom and we have that opportunity. And as we spend time with the Lord and as we are filled with Him, then that will drive that love for Him, as Scotty was talking about this morning. And so this isn't about, white-knuckled, sit down, be quiet, and we will read the Bible together, and you will learn it, and you will like it. That's not going to bear that much fruit, I don't think. But each family again has your rhythms, has your, and as the kids get older, you can do this. I watched a video actually yesterday of a family, and they had kids that could barely speak, and up to kids that were probably 5 or 6 years old, and they were starting it. And the habit was there, right? The discipline was there. And another thing that I've heard said, and I've mentioned it too from this, is that, sometimes these family times around the Word of God, they're going to come and they're going to go, and they may work out great, and they may just be disasters. But the key is the discipline aspect. The key is that consistently, time after time, your kids know, and you know through your time spent in that's what's important. You place an importance on it. So that's just one of the things that we want to come up with. So I want to share a video, and I thought I could have just spoke it out and plagiarized it and said the same things he does, but I just like this video. I like this. This is an excerpt from a series called Family Discipleship, and I've just picked an excerpt of one of the four messages that this particular speaker does on this. And he talks about four C's. Each thing starts with the letter C. We're not going to watch all four of them just for time's sake. I just wanted to let you watch this. And hopefully there's something in it that encourages you. The reason why I picked this particular part is because it encouraged me. And it just gave me something to start with. And it was an encouragement. And I'm hoping that it's the same for you. If you're in that boat of we've always wanted to start family discipleship. We've always wanted to do devotions. It just never seems to work for our family. We're too busy with X, Y, Z. Transparency, and I've said this before, it wasn't me who was manning up and starting the discipleship with our family, because I thought, we could never do it in the morning. Our mornings are so crazy. How can we get this going? And through Andrea's encouragement, we started it, and we have continued it, with some success since. And so there will always be reasons why, or excuses where you think, we could never do this. We've got this on this night and this on this night. But if you're intentional about it, you're prayerful about it, there is occasion for you to do this. And it's not about, again, it's not about batting 1,000. It's not about if you do this, everything's going to work out great. It's about just getting started and see what the Lord does with that. So I'll just put the video up now, and then I'll have some time afterwards to just share a little bit about it, but that's what I wanted to share with us this evening.
Starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, parents, that you should be cultivating a heart that loves Jesus Christ. That is what we are to give ourselves over to cultivate a heart that loves Jesus Christ, as imperfect as we are. And there isn't a parent in here this week that hadn't blown it this week, even after last week's sermon. Right? I mean, we just have. And that's why the grace of God is such a beautiful thing for us as moms and dads, right? But this is our primary place of operating. The next sentence doesn't matter if we can't get there. So as imperfect as we are, wherever we are, we're cultivating a heart that loves Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 7. I love when the word of God meets us in the world in which we live. That's what I love about God. He's not ethereal. Like, he meets us where we actually are. So watch this. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, what I mean by what I just said is that what the Bible's just done is not ask you to really add anything to your life, but rather to reorient your life around the things of God. So it's not like do what you do and then on top of that add these things, but rather let these things be woven into what you're already doing. And so here's my goal. Mom, dad, here's my goal. That when you leave here today, you will not be paralyzed by the task, but be empowered and encouraged that you can do this. Regardless of how you've come in, that you can do this. You can disciple your children. You can do it. You're going to crush it. I'm just so excited for you. Now, with that said, when we're talking about time, we're talking about four things, and I've gone deep into my Baptist roots, and I've made all four of these things start with the letter C. All right. And so when we're talking about intentional time, where we create these spaces or we dive into the spaces that we already are and we talk about spiritual things, we're talking about four things. Here's the first thing: consistency. Now, don't immediately deflate. Let's talk about consistency. No human being ever, regardless of age, needs to be told something one time and then never again. Doesn't work that way for you. Certainly doesn't work that way for your children. If you just take this out of the spiritual world and just put it into the one you're living in, there's no kid ever that just needed to be told, hey, will you not leave this here once? Right? That's not how this works. It's, hey, pick up your shoes. Hey, will you come pick up your shoes? Hey, this is not where your shoes go. Hey, let me show you where your shoes go. Come with. Okay, here's where your shoes go. Hey, what are these? All right. And you get to where you talk like a crazy person. Right? What is this? They're shoes. Okay. I know they don't go here, right? It's consistency. This is how it works. We teach over and over and over again. So spiritual conversations are not one-offs. They're not one-offs. They're consistent. We're consistently having these conversations. And let's talk, parents. You already are good at this. You are already consistently talking with your kids about things. Let me just guess a couple. I'm guessing that you're pretty consistently talking about grades or sports or the state of a bedroom. Or the right. These are consistent conversations. They're not bad conversations, right? There will be no drive-by guilting in this series, right? So it's not a bad thing for you to be talking about the best way to tackle or the best way to keep your eye on the ball or whatever with your kids. That's a good conversation if it's where their joys are. I'm just saying that you're already consistently having conversations with your children in the car, at the house, when you sit around at dinner, when you have your bedtime routine, even if your bedtime routine is just screaming, no, you can't have water, get in bed. Right? You're consistently having conversations. Most consistently, those conversations need to be about the things of God. Now, here's what I don't want you to do. One of the things that might be most helpful for you is When I'm talking about consistency, I don't think what that means is you go every Monday night at 7 o'clock. That's a lockdown night. Nobody's doing anything but concentrating on the Lord Monday night at 7. Like, here's what I think you'll find. I think if you're able to do that, praise God for you. You are at a whole nother level than most humans that I know. Right? Because I think what you'll find is the second you make Monday night sacred, the entire universe will set its face against your Monday night. And practices will be moved there, and travel will be moved there, and all sorts of crazy things will happen on Monday nights. So what you can do consistently is say, at some point this week, we need to find 10 to 12 minutes to, as a family, read the Bible and have a conversation. You can do that. You can do, in fact, but by the end here, here's where I want to wager. By the end here, I want to show you that you can crush this with 10 minutes of intentional thinking. That's it. You need 10 minutes a week of intentional thinking, and you're on a roll making disciples of babies. It's awesome. Consistency. Don't be so hard on yourself. So the second C is clarity. So when we're talking about time, we're talking about consistency. Now we're talking about clarity. What I have learned with adults, and even more so with our children, is that what is being said isn't necessarily what is being heard. Any other parent had this experience? Okay, like I have it with adults all the time where I'll get an email like, I can't believe you said that in your sermon, and I'll just send them the link to the sermon. I'm like, I didn't say that. You did say that. It was a different story, right? It's just funny that like what I'm saying oftentimes is heard differently. That's monumentally more true with my children. And yet all of life is a fight for clarity. All of life is a fight for clarity. And so here are some, I think, best practices with your kids. When you get into a spiritual conversation with your kids, which you're doing consistently, right? Then when that conversation's kind of tapering off, what we've learned to do is just go, hey, say back to me what we just said. Just say back to me what you said. Now, parents, this is great because it'll start to give you a little bit of insight into the soul of your child, that each soul's unique, right? I've got three individual souls. You have to come at them each a different way. You have to deal with them each a different way. There's no one size fits all in raising children. It's a complex, competitive sport, right? And so in this space, what I found is that one of mine will almost always tend towards the negative side. Well, can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. And I've got two that trend towards the positive side. This is great. This is awesome. This is great. So now I have learned by just saying, say back to me what I just said to you, that I need to navigate this heart a bit different than I need to navigate these two hearts. Another best practice is to ask open-ended questions of your children. If you ask yes, no, you're going to get what? Yes, no. If that, you might just get a grunt, right? But if you ask open-ended questions, you've at least got a shot. So if you say, how did that make you feel? That's an awesome question for a mom or dad to ask their children. And don't think, I don't know, half the wives in here said, look, I don't think my husband could answer that question. How does that make you feel? What? Like panic in his eyes, right? So here's what you do next is you go to basically a scale for them. Right? Did that make you angry? Did that make you sad? Was it kind of an angry sad? Were you happy about that? Did that make your heart happy? So, and then here's another great little statement to say, tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. These are great ways to have conversations with your children that get at their heart and not just their behavior. Right, behavior is a good thing that needs to be addressed, but what we want is their heart. We learn that from our Heavenly Father, don't we? That we want the heart, not just behavioral modification, although I want some behavioral modification. But what I ultimately want is their heart. As you fight for clarity, make sure you're becoming a safe place for their doubts. So just if you're a Christian, how many of you had these seasons or these situations in your life where you've had to really wrestle with how to make sense of God being good, holy, just, and beautiful in the scenario in which you live that created some doubts that you had to wrestle through? Okay, so I think that's going to be a universal experience for even Christians. Now, we know what's right. We lean into what's right. We preach the gospel to ourselves. But if the Apostle Paul can say he was perplexed but not crushed, I think that gives us permission to at times be perplexed. Be a safe place for the doubts of your children. Be a safe place for them to say things that are like, I just don't. So I've got one. One of my kids who will remain nameless. He dang it. He's built like his daddy, which means he's just a natural skeptic. Just a natural skeptic. And so my son, it's out of the back, he's just going to say, I don't think it's hard for me to believe that God created the whole world. I know he created the lions and tigers, but it's just hard for me to believe he created everything. And so every time he says something like that, I just take the little nugget that he gave me. How amazing is God then that the apex predators that you just named, the strongest, most aggressive hunters on earth, he just told to be. How awesome is that? And those moments have become watermark moments where he's more and more likely to discuss spiritual things with me because I don't freak out when he airs his doubts to me. Be a safe landing spot for them. Be a place for them to wrestle with, how is this true? What do I do with that? So we want to fight for clarity. Mom and dad, as you go and you're doing the things that you're doing, be creative in your approach to how you're tying things back to the creator of the universe. And so when I talk about being creative, that's our third C. Let me give you just some examples that I've picked up on from other parents. So had a buddy who did not have this conversation with his wife before he did this. Brothers, have this conversation with your wife. And he built an epic fort in their living room, right? I mean, he moved the dining room table into the living room. He moved chairs, moved a lamp. He used a nice lamp to hold up a blanket that created the canvas ceiling. And then they all crawled into this fort with a flashlight, because flashlights are always cool if you're under the age of 41. And with the flashlight, he clicked and read this out of the Bible. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And then under this blanket in the middle of the living room with this brother's got a big old family, man. I'm just saying, he's a kid away from a TLC show. And with it all jammed in there, flashlight lit, they began to pass the flashlight around and talk about God being a fortress and what that meant. You can do that. Dad, you can build a fort in the living room. Just loop in mama, all right? Just loop in mama. I know a good friend that goes camping.
He gives another example there of going camping and how that they use that. So anyways, I hope that was helpful. I like the practicality of it, some of those suggestions of how to speak to your kids. And again, it ranges, right? Again, some of your kids are younger and you're not going to be able to have those complex conversations, but as they get older and are able to more express their feelings and their emotions and things, you can have those conversations. This is for parents. This is for grandparents. This is for special aunts and uncles and family friends and people who have access into the lives of young people to get to do this. So I hope that it encourages you to maybe try some of those tools or to implement some of them. If you're in that situation where this applies, if you're in that family situation, if you are not in that situation, I just want to encourage you again about, this is about discipline. This is about having routines. And for me, I'm a person who needs routines. And when I start something, I can be stubborn enough to keep at it because I did it the day before. And so I'm not going to quit because I want to create a pattern of consistency. That works for me. That's how I can do some things like that. Other people really struggle with routine, and they can do something for 5 days in a row and then they never do it again. And and so if you know that that's your kind of personality, and that it's like, oh, I wasn't able to continue this pattern of doing it every day, my encouragement is not to get discouraged. Yourself, and it's, if that's not going to motivate you to find a pattern and find a time that works for you, find a place that works for you or your family, then do what works. Do where you can to just grow spiritually yourself or to grow your family. those occasions that you have, you know, if you're driving your kids to ball practice or hockey practice, or when you're just hanging out with them, taking the dog for a walk, or whatever it is, use those occasions and have those opportunities to grow your children in the Lord. And so, I don't want to belabor the point. The family is so important, and we have so many families here. I want to just encourage families, immediate families, and extended families, as we focus on the Word of God, as we put that priority in our homes, in our families. We'll see the fruit of that as we seek God's help. We seek His will. We want our kids to grow in the Lord. We want ourselves to grow in the Lord too. We can't just be doing this, and saying and doing all the things and devotions and maybe hitting all the marks, but then our own lives are devoid of any real spiritual disciplines, right? You want that's the biggest mark. You know, you can do all the things. You can show up to all the meetings here. You can do your devotion Sunday morning, or every morning. But then if your life isn't reflecting Christ, there's no growth in your own heart, in your own life, then you're not going to have the same power source to do the things that you want to do. So for some of us, behold, I show you a new thing. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity. Tomorrow morning is your new opportunity. If this helps you to have a discipline, to start, to begin, whether it's just yourself and you're starting university or college or high school, or whether it's your family, even if it's just you and your wife, and you maybe have young children or older kids, maybe you just have one left or a couple left or whatever, just start and see where the Lord leads. Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that. We'll just close in prayer and thank you for your time and attention. God and Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you sent your Son to die for us. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that we are welcomed into your family through what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So Father, as we, for some of us, as we start a new school year, we start some new routines, we just pray that we would seek ways that we can honor you. And Father, we pray that you would help us to create and to encourage spiritual disciplines, first and foremost in our own hearts, in our own lives, and then by extension of that, in our homes, with our families, with our children, with our grandchildren, with our nephews, with our nieces, with the people that we have opportunities to minister to. Those of us with families, with kids, it's our desire, it's our heart to see them go after the Lord and to seek Him with their whole heart and soul and mind and strength. And so help us to make the Lord of our lives. Help us to make our homes a place where the Word of God is taught and upheld. And Father, we pray for all of us. We are sinners saved by grace. None of us are perfect. We sin. We fall short. We are inconsistent. We fumble things. Father, and even in the best of circumstances, things can go not the way that we'd have them to go. But help us, Father, to be faithful to you through the ups and downs of our lives, through the ups and downs of our year this year, with all the things that'll come in our path. Help us to honor you through it, and you will bless us. So we ask your blessing now on this gathering of individuals. We thank you for the many people who are here at Charlottetown Bible Chapel. We think of the many families, immediate and extended, and we just pray for each one. We ask your blessing on each one. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.